my youth, my mind had been much more interested in how things were intuitively related, right hemisphere, than how they were categorically different, left hemisphere. My mind preferred thinking in pictures, right hemisphere, as opposed to language, left hemisphere. It wasn't until my graduate school years and fascination with anatomy that my mind excelled in detail memorization and retrieval. After a childhood of information processing through sensory, visual, and pattern association strategies, the tapestry of my knowledge was all intimately interlinked. The downfall to this type of a learning system, of course, is that it only works when all the pieces of the network are functioning and interacting properly. On this morning, as I sat and contemplated the phone number for work, I remembered that there was something unique about the patterning of our office codes. Something like, my number ended in 10, which was the exact opposite of my boss's number, which ended in 01, and my colleague's number fell right in the middle. But because my left hemisphere was drowning in a puddle of blood, I could not access the specifics of my mental inquiry, and the linearity of mathematics befuddled me. I kept thinking, what's in the middle between 01 and 10? I decided that looking at the phone keypad might be helpful. Sitting at my desk, I placed the phone directly in front of me and sat patiently for a few moments, awaiting the next wave of clarity. Again, I intoned, what is the number at work? What is the number at work? After several minutes of holding the phone and drawing a blank, a list of four digits suddenly appeared in my mind. 2405, 2405. I repeated it over and over to myself, 2405. In order to not forget it, I picked up a pen and with my non-dominant left hand, I quickly jotted down the image I saw in my mind. A 2 was no longer a 2, but rather a squiggle that looked like a 2. Fortunately, the 2 on the phone pad looked just like the 2 in my mind's eye, so I drew the squiggles that represented what I saw, 2405. Somehow, I understood that this was only part of the number. What was the rest? There was a prefix. Something came first. So again, I started intoning. What is the prefix? What is the prefix at work? Faced with this dilemma, it occurred to me that it was not necessarily an advantage that when we are at work, we merely have to dial extension numbers. Because of this lack of routine use, the pattern for my prefix recognition was not coded in the exact same file in my brain as the rest of the extension numbers. So back I went on a mission to retrieve information, and I questioned, what is the prefix? What is the prefix at work? For my entire life, I had been exposed to phone numbers with very low prefixes, 232, 234, 332, 335, etc. But grasping at anything flitting through my mind, any possibility at all, the code 855 flashed as a visual. Initially, I thought that this was the most absurd prefix I'd ever heard because the numbers seemed so high. But at this point, anything was worth a try. In anticipation of the next wave of clarity, I cleared the desk in front of me. Because it was only 9:15 a.m. and I was only 15 minutes late for work, no one would really be missing me yet. With a plan in mind, I plodded on. I felt tired. I felt vulnerable and completely fragmented as I sat there waiting. Although I was consistently distracted by an enveloping sense of being at one with the universe, I was desperate to carry out my plan to get help. Within my mind, I rehearsed over and over again what I needed to do and what I would say. But keeping my mind tuned in to what I was trying to do was like struggling to hang on to a slippery fish. Task 1, hold the thought in mind. Task 2, execute the internal perception in the external world. Pay attention. Hold on to the fish. Hold on to the understanding that this is a phone. Hold on. Hold on for the next functional moment of clarity. I kept rehearsing in my mind. This is Jill. I need help. This is Jill. I need help. This process had already taken 45 minutes for me to figure out who and how to call for help. During the next wave of clarity, I dialed the number by matching the squiggles on the paper to the squiggles on the phone pad. To my great fortune, my colleague and good friend, Dr. Stephen Vinson, was sitting at his desk. As he picked up the receiver, I could hear him speak, but my mind could not decipher his words. I thought, oh my gosh, he sounds like a golden retriever. I realized that my left hemisphere was so garbled that I could no longer understand speech. Yet, I was so relieved to be connected to another human being that I blurted out, "This is Jill. I need help." Well, at least that's what I tried to say. What exactly came out of my mouth was more akin to grunts and groans, but fortunately, Steve recognized my voice. It was clear to him that I was in some sort of trouble. Apparently, all those years of hollering up and down the halls at work had earned me a recognizable squawk. I was shocked, however, when I did realize that I could not speak intelligibly. Even though I could hear myself speak clearly within my mind, "This is Jill. I need help," the sounds coming out of my throat did not match the words in my brain. I was disturbed to comprehend that my left hemisphere was even more disabled than I had realized. Although my left hemisphere could not decipher the meaning of the words he spoke, my right hemisphere interpreted the soft tones in his voice to mean that he would get me help. Finally, in that moment, I could relax. I didn't need to understand the details of what he would do. I knew that I had done all that I could do, all that anyone could have hoped that I would do, to save myself.